Tell you two things about Sunday. We had a powerful day Sunday talking about baptism. And so this past Sunday, we saw 41 decisions for baptism here at church. Amen? That's good. And by my count, only about 10 people got up and walked out in the middle of the service. So that was good, right? So, and you'll know why in a minute. So let me ask you, don't get up and leave if you don't like what I have to say. Just listen and just pray about it, okay? I want you to imagine this scene. I was serving at another church, and there was a family we had been ministering to for a while, and they had just the most awesome kid. He was 30 years old. He was a special needs kid, and he was just amazing. And when you would talk to this kid, he just had a relationship with Jesus. He loved Jesus. He loved being at church, and he loved to worship. And so this time came, we had some baptisms, and he just really wanted to be baptized. And it was something me and his parents talked about, and they just really struggled with it. And, you know, basically like, well, we're not sure that he understands. And I said, oh, listen, if this is about understanding, he understands way more than any of us. And they said, well, he's afraid of the water. And I said, we'll work it out. So I'm at a church, and imagine this church is like a prim and proper church, right? Everybody's dressed up, and they got on, you know, their suits and ties and dresses. It's sophisticated, right? And so, you know, the last song's winding down, and at the last minute, he just has a meltdown because of the water. And so I'm in the water. The whole church is watching. I'm like, come on, Bill. And they can't see him, right? And I'm like, come on, Bill. And he'd take a step, and then he'd just shake his head. And finally, his dad kind of got by him and said, come on, Bill. And immediately, he just started crying and just sat down right there. And, you know, and I was looking out at the church, and they don't know what's going on. And finally, I said, Bill, do you want to be baptized? And just with tears streaming down his face, he just shook his head, yes. And I said, then, Bill, my brother in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I just started drenching water. His mom and dad were soaked. Two baptismal helpers were soaked. And Bill had the biggest smile you've ever seen on his face because he felt like he was baptized and Jesus was pleased with that. And it was powerful. That's good. Now, so that's one of my all-time favorite baptisms. I'm going to tell you a lot of baptismal stories tonight. But, you know, I had realized in 8.5 years, and you all know, baptism is very important. You know that. If you've been here for any amount of time, you know that it's important. This past Sunday, we baptized our 7,000th person since 1991. And I love it because for the most part, when we share that here, there's wild applause. People are excited and they're happy. But you know, that's not everybody's reaction. And when I share that with other people and other pastors, you had one pastor, he was asking about the baptisms. And, you know, it was one of the years, you know, we had over 500 baptisms in a year. And his response was, well, they can't all be real. And I told him, I said, well, I'm sure they're not all real. You know? All I know is when we talk to people, if they can articulate the gospel, you know, and they have a desire to be baptized, you know, we do talk to them, but ultimately we're trusting God. We are trusting God. I know not all of them are real because we've had somebody got baptized and 2 months later came and said, all right, I don't know. I just did that because my friends did it or whatever, you know, and talking and have that. I want to talk about baptism because in 8.5 years, we've never taught about baptism. We've never taught about it, about what the Bible teaches about baptism. And baptism is one of those things in a church that can be very divisive, very controversial, because of, you know, what different churches teach about baptism. Now, one of the things I love about our church, this may shock some of you, but we're a Southern Baptist church. But our theology doesn't come from our denomination. You know, what we believe about the Bible and baptism and all of that is not based on some denominational checklist of theology, but we believe what we teach here comes from the Bible. And so I want to teach a little bit tonight about what the Bible teaches about baptism, what the Bible says about baptism. And so I'll ask you not to leave. Those 10 people just missed a blessing, right? Right? Y'all are like, I don't know. What time were you preaching? Well, I think the best place to begin in talking about baptism is really, you know, our introduction to New Testament baptism, and that's in Matthew chapter 3. And let me just read this. Then Jesus came from Galilee, verse 13, if you're looking it up. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And so, you know, for me, this is the motto. I said Sunday, one of my favorite classes at Hillview is the kids' baptism class. And because you all know this, that basically from being a kid on, all we do is unnecessarily complicate things, don't we? I mean, we just complicate everything. But for kids, it's so pure and so simple. And what we teach in a kids' baptism class is the reason we get baptized is because Jesus did. And who are we trying to be like? We're trying to be like Jesus. Jesus got baptized, so we get baptized. Guess what happened when Jesus got baptized, the Bible tells us? The Father was pleased, right? And so it pleased the Father that Jesus was obedient, that he did that in the same way that it pleases the Father when we do it. It's a powerful thing. What a lot of churches say about baptism is they believe it's merely a symbol. But I believe it's more than that, because all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, whenever there was obedience, God always blessed that obedience somehow, some way. He blessed that obedience. And so baptism is being obedient to the Father, right? So a lot of people have asked, so when I get baptized at Hillview Heights Church, do I join the church? Does anybody know the answer to that? That is not how you join. You do not join the church by getting baptized. You know why? Because Jesus didn't join First Baptist Jerusalem when he was baptized. There was no joining of a church by baptism. Now, you can join our church, but we have a membership covenant, and you read through that covenant, and if you feel like that's where you're at, then you sign that covenant, and that's how you become a member. But baptism was never meant in the Bible as a means for joining a church. I mean, it's just simply not there. And, you know, and I'll just tell you, the three churches I served previous to this one, that's how you would join the church. If you got baptized, you became a member. Now, you didn't have to get baptized to become a member, but if you got baptized, that was just part of the baptismal deal. You became a member. But I want you to know, that is not what the Bible teaches about baptism. And what I didn't like about it is I think it cheapened baptism. That's not what it was about. It wasn't about pleasing a group of people. You know, we use the words a public profession of faith. And because one of the things we do here, some of you know it, some of you may have been the ones, you know, but we tell people we baptize every day of the week here. You call us on Monday, say, I know I have a relationship with Jesus. I know that, but I've never been baptized. I'd like to get baptized Monday. Guess what? We'll have a baptism on Monday. And other pastors have said, well, now, how is that a public profession of faith? And I said, well, find me those words in the Bible, first of all. Public profession of faith. You know, it's not there. You know, there is this idea that it's a way for us, to profess our faith. You know, it's a way for us to do that. But, you know, so you get baptized here on a Monday, there'll be at least 10 people at your baptism, right? Because I'll be there. Pastor Keith will be there if his hair's done. And various other pastors and people that work here, we come and celebrate that. I mean, that is a big time. It's a big deal. And I'm just going to kind of run through what some of what I believe are misconceptions about baptism. Let me tell you something else the Bible doesn't teach, because it always comes up here. It can be very controversial. I remember sharing with a pastor about just a super powerful baptism that we had, where there was, and I've told you this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. This guy and this gal were up there, and she had on a black robe, he had on a white robe, so he was getting baptized, she was baptizing him, and I just, was trying to find out a little bit about their story, and I come to find she's his parole officer, right? But during that time that he was meeting with her, she was sharing the gospel with him. And so he gets saved. And this is really cool. I told that story Sunday, and he and his mom were sitting up in the balcony. And he had to go to work, but his mom came down. She goes, "That's my Steve. I love him." But it was such a turning point in his life. And he would have shared with you that what God did in that baptism. I'm going to come back to that. But I was sharing a story with another pastor, and he said, so this parole officer, is he an ordained minister? And I said, no, she's not. He said, y'all let women baptize? Oh, Linda's here. Nowhere in the Bible is there a teaching on who should do the baptizing. And a lot of pastors have this pastor-only policy. They're the only ones that can baptize, like it's some big important thing. And I'm thinking about Paul, who said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, except for those in the house of Gaius, right? So Paul was glad he didn't baptize them. And so baptism, it's not about who baptizes you. It's about in whose name are you baptized. That's what's important about baptism. There's no teaching in the Bible on who should administer the baptism, who should be the person that baptizes. It's not there. It's not there. And Paul did baptize a few people, but Paul wasn't a pastor. Right, Paul was more like a church planner kind of a guy, but he wasn't the pastor of a church. So even that model of him doing it, that teaching is not there. But because people ask, because I'm telling you, my favorite Sundays are when moms and dads are baptizing their children. I think that is so powerful. I mean, you think you don't have that memory for the rest of your life? You got to be a part of that and something to reference. You know, when your kids start struggling, because we know they're going to struggle, right? And when they start struggling, reminding them, we were in those waters with you. You know, and it's just a powerful thing. But there's no teaching in the Bible about who should baptize. So Godstock's coming up this weekend, and there's all kinds of people that are going to be baptizing other people. Now, what we do practice here is that we simply believe that those who baptize should be baptized believers. Does that make sense? A few of you, okay? All right. So we just believe that should be the case for your baptism, because people always say, hey, I've got somebody coming in from town and I'd like them to do the baptism. And I think maybe only one time, I said, yeah, well, that'll be fine. Now they're a believer and they've been baptized, right? And only one time in all these years has somebody said, well, no, they're an atheist, but they're just really important to me. And so I think the person baptizing ought to have you know, some basic beliefs about who Jesus is, about salvation, and have actually practiced being baptized themselves, right? That they have done that in their lives, because there's no teaching in the Bible on who should baptize. This next point is when 10 people walked out Sunday, okay? And I was telling somebody that today, and they're like, people walked out? People, and I told them what I had said, and they're like, you mean not everybody believes that? So just hang around, all right? And it's really was the purpose of the sermon. Because what I've done for 8.5 years is almost, not probably in the 90s somewhere, 90 percentile of those who've been baptized since I've been here, I've talked to them. You know, and that's part of what I do here. If you make a decision to be baptized, I call you, we talk about it. And so I've talked to almost all of those people who have gotten baptized. And one of the things that always comes up with baptism, and something that I think really takes the power away from the cross, is this belief, and a lot of people believe it, that baptism is part of your salvation. That you can't be saved unless you've been baptized. In one conversation with a guy, we were talking about this, and you know, he doesn't go to our church; he goes to a different church. And you know, and I know the teachings of that denomination are that baptism is part of salvation. And he was just saying, you know, how can you believe you know that it's not? And you know, just give me an example. And I said, well, you know, Matthew 3, was that when Jesus got saved? When he was baptized? I mean, is that what happened? Is that what the scripture's teaching us? This was the conversion of Jesus? No, it was the baptism of Jesus. I think we'd all agree he already belonged to God, right? I think most of us would agree he was God himself. You know, Jesus, he came to us. So his baptism was in no way connected to his personal salvation. And so the very first New Testament baptism, they're just simply, you know, there's no evidence to support that baptism is necessary for your salvation using that first model of Jesus. It just didn't happen. And I told this guy, I said, well, I didn't realize you believed in salvation by works. He said, oh, I don't. I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I said, no, you don't. I mean, by your own admission, you believe it's Jesus plus baptism. You don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. He goes, well, I do, but, you know, baptism is part of that. And I'm acting like him, like that he was unsure. But no, he was very certain. There was no stuttering or anything. I mean, he was certain of what he believed. But I said, you don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. You believe it's Jesus plus something. And whatever that something is, it's works. So that you and Jesus partner to save you. That what Jesus did was incomplete. But when you get baptized, now it's complete. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that is what's happening at all. And he said, well, give me another example. And so where are we going to go? I took him to the thief on the cross. I said, Jesus said, after the thief, you know, confessed who Jesus was, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today, right? And so there's this understanding that in that, through that confession, you know, he was saved, right? That God had saved him. Now, Jesus had the power that he could have just interrupted the crucifixion. Couldn't he? I mean, the Bible says he could have called, you know, all the angels to come, right? And so Jesus could have just stopped, said, hold on, got off the cross, got the thief off the cross, baptized him so that he could go to heaven. Jesus could have done that. And I promise you this, if you had to be baptized to get to heaven, Jesus would have done it. He would have got off the cross and he'd have had that thief baptized, or else Jesus is a liar. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise, yet thinking, no, I'm not going to be able to get baptized though. You understand? And this is the verse, and he brought this up. In Acts, Peter's preaching, and he says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He said, right there it is. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And indeed, that is exactly what Peter said. Yeah. It's exactly what he said. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So I asked the gentleman this. I said, let me ask you something. Do you believe the Bible? He said, absolutely. I said, you believe every bit of it. He said, absolutely. I said, I don't think you do. He said, well, what are you talking about? And I said, the Bible also says, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. And I told him, I said, you can only believe one of those verses. You can't believe both of them. You understand? Because you have one that says repent and be baptized. And then you have this one that says confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. So this guy is in a conundrum, right? Because he can only believe one of these verses. And I told him, I said, I believe both of them. Because I believe the Bible's true. I don't believe it contradicts itself. And in the places where it just really confuses me, it's because I have a finite mind and God's infinite. And there's just, you know, I'm 32 years old, 31, something like that. And I'm still, you know, I don't know it all. And there's some things I'll just have to tell you, you know, I'm praying about that. And, you know, it's a powerful thing when you look at God's word and you understand that God is infinite. And he can say these two things, and they're both true. And I told this guy, here's how I can believe both of these verses. And I'm just giving you two. There's a couple of verses that talk about repent and be baptized. They're there, no question. And then there's a ton that mention salvation without any mention of baptism. But there is a common thread in all that evidence of verses, and that's this, the idea of repentance. That is necessary, that is there. The confession that Jesus is Lord. And so, you know, my belief is Peter's making the assumption that if you are saved, you're truly saved, you will have a desire to be baptized because you know that God wants you to do that. And so it's important. So Peter says, repent, period, right? Repent. Because you have to repent. I mean, that is a necessary part, right? And so we repent. And God saves us. And here's the thing. Now, Sunday, I preached on the salvation and several topics before I got to baptism to start us off. But last week, I'd kind of touched on salvation. Okay? So this week, we're going to talk about baptism. And so Peter believes that when you repent, when you've truly been saved, there's a desire to be baptized. And I believe that it should be there. That desire should be present. You know, what I'll do, it's common that I'll get a decision card from somebody that made a decision on Sunday or Wednesday night. And, you know, for a month, I'll call them once a week and talk to them. And they just don't want to get baptized. There's just no desire there at all. They're, you know, and it's not like they've got some kind of issue or some kind of hang up. They just don't want to do it. And how I handle that is about after the fourth time, which is usually about 4 weeks, I just say, you know, I really want you to pray about what God did in your life that day. Because one of the things that caught me off guard when I got saved is I thought that all my bad desires would go away. Like I wouldn't want to do anything wrong ever again. Did anybody else think that? Just me? Okay, good. All right, there are a lot of people. And then, guess what happens at some point after you get saved? You have this bad desire. You have this thought about the old life. And you're thinking, right? And I was shocked by that. I just thought it would all change. And so what I've learned through my life is, you know what? Some of those bad desires are still there, and I fight and I struggle against them. That's why the Bible teaches about temptation. That's why the Bible teaches about how to stand against temptation. Because even though you have been saved, you still are going to struggle. There's still going to be temptations. So the Bible doesn't act like you don't face those things. The Bible teaches how you stand against those things. But here's what I did find that happened to me at salvation. All my bad desires didn't go away, but I had new desires that I'd never had in my life. There was a desire after Jesus saved me that I wanted God to be pleased with my life. That was a new desire, right? I'd never had that one before, that I cared what Jesus thought about my life or what I was doing. But after you get saved, there are these new desires to please God. And part of that is baptism. The Bible teaches that we should be baptized. But we don't get baptized so that we can get saved. We get baptized because we are saved. Now, I didn't have any luck with the guy I was talking to. And he walked away absolutely believing that baptism is part of salvation. But I want you to know, Paul warns against, you know, anything, any philosophy, anything like that, that attempts to take power away from the cross. And so I know that this is potentially offensive, but if you believe baptism is a part of salvation, then you don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. You believe it's Jesus plus something. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The model we're given for baptism is Jesus, right? And that could bring us to mode. You know, the word baptizo in the New Testament literally means to immerse. So in the early church, they weren't confused about the mode because the word they used for baptism was to immerse, to dip under, right? And that's a word that we've used. Now, I'm going to tell you, though, there have been instances here where we haven't done that. That is almost always because of a physical handicap or something like that. The story of Bill, right? Because I'm telling you, I just believe that God was pleased with Bill's baptism. That brought glory to God, that it pleased God, that the rest of us were soaking wet, but God and Bill were smiling, right? But I believe that if you can, that the New Testament model of baptism is to be immersed. And saying that obviously naturally leads us into, you know, the idea of infant baptism. We don't practice infant baptism here because we believe in the New Testament model, baptism is a conscious decision that a person makes for themselves, right? Otherwise, Jesus would have just got baptized at the temple when he was a baby, right? But that wasn't the case. And the baptisms that we find in the New Testament are people making a conscious decision to be baptized. It's their own decision. Now, I tell people all the time, and you've heard Pastor Steve say it, you know, if you were baptized as an infant, I don't think that's an evil thing, okay? I don't think that's a bad thing. I equate it to what we do here with baby dedication. Who is the baby dedication for? I mean, really, who's it for? It's for the parents, right? I mean, it's the one Sunday that the guy throws on a tie and a jacket at Hillview Heights Church because he's got to stand in front of everybody, right? And the family's all decked out and they got this gorgeous baby, right? Or, you know, it's not gorgeous, but, you know, whatever. And you know my favorite line, you know, for babies is I just, you know, because everybody brings their baby up to the pastor and says, look at my baby. And I just have learned over the years, I just say, well, that baby's as cute as it can be. And they go, well, thank you. And I'm like, okay, you're welcome. But I just meant it's as cute as it can be. Bless its heart, right? But so we do baby dedication, you know. And I just haven't met people who are like, oh, Pastor Jamie, look, I want to show you this. This is a picture of my baby dedication. That's me when I was 3 months old. It's for the parents. I've had a lot of parents have pictures. Oh, this was our baby dedication. This was so great. You know, but it's never in the kids' room, right? Because it's for mom and dad. But the New Testament model of baptism is it's a conscious decision we make after conversion to be baptized. And so, you know, we'll have a lot of people. We had a lot of people last year. We'll have a lot of people this next year who will, you know, come down the altar and say, you know, I was baptized when I was a baby, but my parents made that decision for me. I didn't make it. And I just feel like, you know, I need to make that decision. And I just always say, well, I think that's the Lord speaking to you, you know, to do that. You know, I'm not saying that it's an evil thing if you don't get baptized. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there should be a desire to be baptized. It should be there. Let me tell you just a couple things. One really neat time, Linda, you'll remember this. We were getting ready for baptism, and I came a little bit late, and there were two ladies, and they were just bawling their eyes out, hugging each other, and you know, I just assumed they were sisters because of the affection that they had for each other, and I was like, "Well, hey, you are happy?" And they said, "Oh, we've got to tell you this. We worked at the same place for 25 plus years, and we hated each other. We were bitter enemies. We made each other's lives miserable." And I said, "Well, that is so great. So y'all decided to get baptized and kind of just reconcile." And they said, "No." She goes, "I didn't know she was getting baptized today." You know, they both just come walking out of the little room where you can put your gown on. They're like, you. Can I just tell you what I believe about that moment, that situation? God just sent both of them. You know why? He wanted them to deal with that. You know, baptism is a sign of our saying we want to follow Jesus wherever he leads us, right? Because he has saved us, we want to follow him. And that was something I just believe the Lord wanted those women to deal with, you know, and deal with it in the most brutal of ways. They come walking out on, you know, one of their happiest days, and there's the other one, right? And it just turned into this unbelievable moment of forgiveness and healing. And I told you God always blesses obedience. I think that was their blessing that day. I think that's what God did. I mean, you know, you're talking about decades of just hate and venom, right? And God just heals it in a moment. It's powerful. Well, this weekend is Godstock, and there's going to be a lot of baptisms Sunday morning at Godstock. And one of the things we wanted to do, we've prayed for the last couple of years that we'd get to see 100 baptisms at Godstock. And people always hate it when I say that, but you know, we haven't seen it. Because people say, "Well, don't you think God could do 3,000? Well, yeah, I do, but I haven't seen 100 yet. So we've just been praying for 100. So we had 100 of these shirts printed up. And what we did, everybody that's going to get baptized Sunday at the lake, they're going to be wearing this shirt. And some of you are here tonight, and you know you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. For whatever reason, you've put it off. What's very common is people say, you know, I haven't got baptized yet because I just feel like I need to get my life together. And I always say, if that was the prerequisite for baptism, I said, do you realize none of your pastors would be baptized? Nobody here would be. Who would be baptized if you had to have your life all together? But I think that's part of the blessing of baptism. That God just imparts a wisdom to us. I've had people tell me how they've struggled with things for years and years. And after they got baptized, it's not that the struggle wasn't still there, but they felt they had a strength to stand up to it that they had never had before. And I don't believe God's withholding any strength or anything, but there's something about being obedient and the way that God can bless that. We're going to have a time of altar, and I want to invite you to come. And some of you just need to come and get a shirt. If you come and get a shirt, we're going to write down your name and your number. I'll call you. I'll give you all the details about it. But you know you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. I'm going to ask you to come. There'll be many people come just to pray at the altar. And so you won't be by yourself. But we've got a bunch of shirts over here. And if you're here and you know you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, I'm just going to ask you to take that step of obedience tonight. Just come and take this shirt. Join us at the lake Sunday morning and be baptized. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word, because I do believe your word provides clarity. Lord, I thank you that you and you alone, you're the author and the perfecter of our faith. And baptism isn't a part of our salvation, but it's definitely a part of our walk of discipleship and how willing we are to follow you. Lord, I pray that people would come tonight and just be obedient in what you've been calling them to do. And I pray that many people would take a shirt tonight. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you. If there's somebody here that's never asked you to come into their life to forgive them of their sin, Lord, I pray that would happen tonight. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar's open. I'm going to ask you just to give me a few minutes, and just so we can have a time of altar together. But you come.